Good morning, everyone. We indeed need the Lord, whether we are in Israel, serving among Arabs or Jews, or whether we're in the States or even in Texas here, we still need the Lord. And, you know, I thought I have enough languages to manage myself around. And I know Arabic and Hebrew and English, and especially coming to the States, I thought, well, that's enough for me. Until I came to Texas and I understand that I miss the Texan language, so you need to bear with me, and I promise I'll do my best for next time to get it. Anyway, it's an honor for me to be with you this morning, and I bring greetings from my family and my colleagues at NETS, and we appreciate very much our friendship and the relation we have with Pastor Joe, and also the church. Many of you also are good friends to us, and we remember you in our prayers, and we trust that you'll remember us also in our prayers, in your prayers, while we are ministering back in Israel. I want to get to the passage this morning that Pastor Joe just read. And I would like to call this passage the challenges of commitment. The four Gospels tell us that the news of Jesus were spreading around, and the crowds started to follow him, amazed from his healing power, from his teaching, from his authority upon the evil and the evil spirit, from his authority about the nature. And Matthew, in the similar story, he tells us that in Matthew 8:18, that crowds were around him everywhere, and they were pushing him in that moment. And Jesus wanted to leave the crowds to go to another place. And in that moment, when Jesus was about to leave, three young men approached him. And it seemed that they were touched by his teaching, by his words, by his authority. And they wanted to follow him. And as we read the words of this incident, from one side, it appears that these young men were serious in their decisions. They were logic in their excuses that they gave to Jesus. But from the other side, we find that Jesus' answer to them surprises us. As if he was turning back those who want to follow him. There's three serious, sincere young men coming to Jesus in the minute that he was about to leave the crowd. And as probably it looks like they are telling him, please wait for us. We want to follow you. And even when we read what they have been saying to Jesus, it doesn't seem from their words that they were not serious. But from the other side, when we look at the way that Jesus answered them, it surprises us. Why is Jesus doing that? And what kind? If he was teaching all day about discipleship and about people following him, what kind of disciples is he seeking? And to answer this question, we should understand that the main theme in this passage that Jesus is speaking about, it's the challenges in our commitments. It's the cross that we have to carry in our commitments and in our journey with him. And in order to understand these verses, we should not look to the sentences or to the answers or to what the three men said. We should look to what Jesus told them. Because while we look at what they said, it seems that there's no problem with what they said, but the problem is what the key to this passage is looking at that, the words that Jesus told these disciples. And every time I read this passage, I really feel not easy about this. It's not a comfortable words for us to listen to. And I'm not sure if I want to apologize or say sorry. I don't think I am. I'm not going to make it easy. No. I think I want us to meet face to face with Jesus this morning. And what we should hear the challenges he's putting in front of us and weigh our ways and our commitment to him. And I think when I'm saying that these words are not easy, it's probably because every one of us has challenges similar to the challenges that these people are facing. And sometimes we fight whether we should obey God or obey other things. So let us together look to the challenges that Luke puts in front of us. And I'm looking at about three challenges and see what if they would be relevant to our situation nowadays. The first challenge that we find it in this passage, I would like to call it comfortable discipleship. Comfortable discipleship. The first man approached Jesus. I just want us to imagine what was happening. Jesus was teaching all day, telling people to obey his words, to follow him. And while was he leaving, said one man came. He said, "Sir, I want to follow you. I will follow you." Actually, he's saying, "I follow you wherever you go." That's great. What a commitment would Jesus ask more than this? I will follow wherever you go. Nevertheless, what this man said was not enough for Jesus. This is an astonishing thing. He was teaching people to follow him, and when someone comes and tell him, I want to follow you wherever you go, Jesus was not so pleased. And as I said, to understand why and what was happening there, we should not look to what the people said. We should look to the answers of Jesus and try to understand what did he know that we did not know. Because we look as man to the eyes. As human beings, we look to the eyes, but God looked to the heart of the people. And Jesus saw something in these words that was seen by these people that we don't see immediately. And we need to look carefully to the words of Jesus to learn what he was trying to say. We're told from Matthew's gospel, actually, about the same story, that this person that approached Jesus in this way, he was from the scribes. And the scribes, they are those group of people who copied the Bible at that time. They were very respected people, very honored people in their society. They had good position. And it looks like that this man was impressed by Jesus. He was impressed by Jesus as the great teacher, impressed by Jesus, the miracles maker, impressed by Jesus who stops the storms, and Jesus that raises the dead. And he was impressed by this man. And he was, probably I said, I want to be with this guy. I want to be beside him when he goes to the banquets. I want to walk with him, beside him when he walks in the streets and people are shouting and seeking his help. I want to be beside this great man. I want to be beside this great man. And it's a great thing to be beside a great man. You feel honored. You feel that you are also becoming somehow as important, and as a follower of this man, you become as important probably as this man is. And this scribe, as it looks like that what his problem was, that he wanted to follow Jesus, the great teacher, the great Lord, the great miracle makers. And in other words, this guy was looking for the advantages of the faith, of following Jesus, but not the commitments. What this man was about, what he was looking for, is more comfortable discipleship. He looked at the good things, and I said, I want to be part of this. And then Jesus looked at him and said, and he sees what he was thinking. He looked deep to his heart, and he saw something. He said, I want to tell you something else. You're probably dreaming about the advantages, but I want to tell you something else, that there is challenges too. Foxes has holes, and birds has nets, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there is no advantages by following Christ. It's a great advantage to be a follower of Christ, a child of Christ. It's a great advantage to be the son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we should understand that there is also challenges. And we should not only be faithful and only follow him while life is easy. We should follow him trusting that he's with us while we are having an easy time or a difficult time. Many times we promised to follow him, but we failed to do so, especially when the hard time. We start questioning, we start doubting, and Jesus this morning wants to remind us that to follow him, there is challenges. Do we really want to follow him? As this man said, I will follow you wherever you go. And we have a great God. Many people, when they are trying to sell their products, they always mention the good things and hide the bad things. They mention the advantages and cover the disadvantages. But Jesus is making it very clear to us as his followers. He said, I want you to follow me. I want you to be my children. But you should know also that there is challenges, there's hardship. While he's also promising us that he will be with us during these times. So sometime we seek a comfortable discipleship. We want to have to follow God. No, to have a comfortable life only. And I know that there is the teaching of the prosperity gospel, you know, and it's like, which is, I would say, unbiblical. Because God is making it clear that there is hardship. There is difficulties. There is sometimes it would not be easy if we are following him. And especially, it won't be easy because of our faith. So, do we really want to follow him? Or only we're seeking a comfortable way? The second two, the other two, they use the same words actually. In verse 59 and 61, let me first. Both of them, they are using the same words. Let me first. They were speaking about following Jesus when something happens, or if something happened, or after something, but not now. They were relating, following him with other things. And they are very similar to many of us, actually. It could be following Jesus as believers, or obeying his words or his will in our lives. We try to work like these two people. And there's a little bit different between the two young men here. The first one, he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus, but not now. If the first one was seeking a comfortable one, the second one was postponing it. Not now. And again, when we look at this person's words, we see acceptable excuse. He's saying, let me first go and bury my father. But again, to understand this problem, we should look to Jesus' answers. Jesus' answer is the key to understand this person's problem. And I believe that Jesus surprised him a lot. This guy did not expect this answer from Jesus. Jesus was not telling this young man, don't respect your parents. He was not telling him, you don't have to do the duties in your families or in your work. There's something else was there. Jesus understood that this man was only giving an excuse not to follow him. And I believe all Bible scholars and even our human logic tells us that when I was young, I thought, this is strange, you know, this man, his father is dead, and Jesus is telling him not to go to bury his father, and it's very, very rude in the Middle East, and I think it's very rude everywhere in the world, that the father is dead and the son will not be able to bury his father. But, no, looking at it, what this man was saying, first of all, his father was alive, because otherwise he will not be going around Galilee and traveling. He would be with his family. What this man was saying to Jesus, probably my dad is old, and let me go back, and sometime in the future, it might be tomorrow, it might be in a year, or it might be in 5 years, sometime when he died, and I've done my responsibility towards my family, I will follow you. I will follow you. Aren't we the same? Many times we say, I want to obey your word. I want to follow you on this path. I want to fulfill your call in my life. But not now. Later. I'm very convinced of your call. I know exactly what you're saying is true. And it's for me. But not now. I'll do it sometimes later when I have fewer commitments, when I have different situation, when I finish my degree, when I get married, or when I my situation at the work gets stable, or I will do what you are asking me to do. But let me first do my things, and then I'll do that. This is one of the greatest challenges that we have, that we do want to follow Christ. We are sincere of following him. But we don't want to sacrifice everything. We see, we think that God does not want the best for us. For somehow we think that God is not concerned about our families. For somehow we think that God is not concerned about our financial situation or our children. And if we follow him, that means that we should ignore everything and everything will fall apart, which is not true. Satan is fooling us with this idea. God is calling us. And we should, if he's calling you in some direction or other direction, follow him. He'll take care for the things you'll need. And he'll help you to honor your responsibilities and your duties and whatever else you need. But he's seeking 100% obedience. We try to put other things in front of our following him. And beloved, we should not let any earthly commitment above our commitment to him. He cares about other things. He cares about every small thing in our life. I like that psalm, the 23 psalm. It's because it's the way it ends. It's a wonderful way. Usually people in the world are seeking the good things. They are running after the good things. But in this psalm, David is saying that if God is our shepherd, and we trust in him, good things will be running after us. He'll take care for mercy and anything. God will provide everything. So let us put him first and not put other things first. So first one, again, as we always like, we want to be good followers. God don't make it difficult to us. And he's saying, wait a minute, I'm not promising an easy life, but I'm promising that I'll be with you, even during the difficult time. The second one, as we do, God, we want to follow you. Let us finish few things. We have some commitments. Please understand. And also he's saying, my beloved, I want you now. I'm calling you now. I'll help you to fulfill other things if they are important in your life. I'll take care for them. Just obey me now. And the third one is also, I think, is similar to us. Also. He wants to follow, but not with everything he has. And this is difficult to see it unless we really get to the words of Jesus again. There's a similar story to that story mentioned in the Old Testament. And when I say similar story, I mean that someone was called and he asked a permission to go and say bye-bye to his parents. And it was Elisha asking his master Elijah. When Elijah asked Elisha to follow or to come with him, he said, give me some time to go to say goodbye to my parents or my family and I'll come back. And he was given that time. There was no problem in the act itself. So the problem is not with what this man is asking for. There's no problem with saying goodbye to his parents or to his family. There's another problem. The problem, it's deep in his heart of this man. Again, looking at the words of Jesus, it has no relation to what this person said. He said, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why is Jesus saying that this man did not say anything close even to this? He's saying, I just want to say bye-bye to my parents or my family and I come back. And Jesus saw something deeper than that. Jesus looked deep to his heart and saw a divided heart in this person. And the one, as Jesus say, cannot put his hand in the plow if not and do the right work if his head is not or his eyes is not straight ahead. And it is Satan's famous trick. It has been always Satan's famous trick. You don't have to give everything. You don't have to give everything. Why to cut every relation? Why to cut your things from your... Keep something for yourself. And if I look through the Bible, and there's many examples that we can together remember them, about Satan using the same trick and making the people putting their hands on the plow, but their eyes are back. There's the issue when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt by Moses and then went to Sinai. In a certain point, they said, we were desiring our beautiful situation in Egypt. I don't understand what kind of beautiful or easy. They were slaves. They were enslaved day and night by the Egyptian. And suddenly, somehow, Satan put in their hearts that, even you were in slavery, but it was good slavery. It was great slavery. And they said, we wish we had watermelon. And it's like, you want to go back to slavery to have a watermelon. This is what Satan do in our, we are walking with Christ. Our eyes ahead. And sometimes he said, well, you know, not all your past, you know, some of your sins are not really bad, you know. Some of your bad friends, even there, you still need to get back with them. Or such things that we're prevent us from continuing our core in our life. And we fool ourselves. We know it's not true. But this, you know, evil call in our lives makes us look back and desire things that enslaved us and caused us to live a miserable life. For somehow, he fools us again and again and makes us look back. Lot's wife, is it Lot's, you say, wife? She was living in a sinful city that even God, with all his mercy, could not bear anymore to look down to this city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he rescued them, but her heart is still back. She's looking. She wants to be, to run away from death. And here, God rescued her from death, actually. He saved her life. And everything was burning in the back. And it seems that her heart was burning also for such things. You know, it's amazing how Satan can fool us in such a way that we desire the slavery back again. And this man, he wanted to follow Christ, but also to stay as he is. I want to follow you. What he's saying, I want to keep also my relations. Let's put it half-half. You know, it's like, I give you maybe a little bit more. We're coming from the Middle East, and bargaining is a very important thing. You know, it's like you go to a shop, and he says, and you ask for a certain thing, and he says, how much? And he tells you $100. And you would say, well, would 10 make it okay? He said, what? I'm saying 170, and he will say. And you say 20. And then you get probably 40 or 60. Depends who's better, you or the shopkeeper with bargaining. Some people are expert, but I think shopkeepers are the more experts always, and they will win all in every case. Anyway, this man was bargaining with Jesus. Let's discuss it. I will follow you. But I want to keep other things in my life. What he was actually doing, instead of having one focus, he has divided one. His hands were on the plow, but his eyes, I said, were back. His legs, they go forward, but his heart in another place. He wanted to do God's will, but he also wanted to do his will. And this man does not fit to the kingdom. These are tough words. And I don't feel easy even listening to them today. Because our human nature, our old nature, still fights to get its rights, you know. So we want, you know, we're still there. But this morning, and as I said, I'm not going to make it easy. Because I understand it's not easy. God is challenging us. And he's saying, my beloved, follow me whatever it costs you. Follow me now. Follow me with a full heart. And as God said, my son, give me your heart. He doesn't want part of it. He wants all of our hearts. And this message is right for us as we are standing this morning and here in Groves. It's true also in Israel, and it's true everywhere. God wants his people to follow him. May God bless us and help us to be good followers that obey him whatever happens, and obey him immediately with full heart. Amen. Yeah. God, we lift our eyes to you this morning. And we confess that we are weak and need your help, even to fulfill your commandments. We trust that you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you want us to be your disciples and your followers. Help us, God, to follow you every time. Not only to seek the comfortable way of living, but understanding that even if we go through difficulties, you are with us during these difficulties. Oh God, we ask that you'll help us to obey you immediately always. There's always excuses and things that are important for us. But let us not put anything before you and obey you, trusting that you are taking care for everything and every need in our life. God, we also, there's many things in this world. Could be relations, could be material things that might attract us and take our eyes from the work that you are called us to do. God, we come to you this morning asking your help, that we'll see you as the most precious thing in our life, the treasure in our life. Your call for us in this life, the most important thing to do. Don't let us have divided hearts. Don't let us put our hands on the plow and look back, but help us to look ahead for the call you called us to do. Bless us, Father. Bless this church, the pastor and the ministers and the people in this church, and use them to be a light and salt in this area and bring others to know you through their commitments and through their life as Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.